Jurassic Park 3, Spinosaurus Potter, by Gojira 126, read by Sam Gabriel, based on the works of Michael Crichton and J.K. Rowling. Chapter 20. Lily watched as the helicopter that would take them back to the Isla Sorna base landed on the helipad. Around them was her husband, Sirius, Harry, Bellatrix, and Chell. Chell seemed the most excited to see the outside world, having had permission from both her chief and from Lily herself. She was wearing the top and loincloth that was standard for anyone in the running job of the village, the point being fast and agile as to avoid being eaten. As the helicopter landed, Lily looked at her son, noticing him stiffening up a bit. This made sense, given that he was a massive predator who preferred the ground and water to open air. They were quickly put into the copter, due to a weather warning that was going to go into effect as soon as they landed on Sorna. Harry seemed amused at that, though. Lily had to admit that he had been through nearly 15 years of storms. The trip was rather short, as they made a direct line toward Isla Sorna, Chell watching out the windows in awe as they went over the water. Lily simply snuggled against James, who had wrapped her in a warm blanket and held her close. Something that both her husband and son had done was keep her in sight at all times, like someone was going to kidnap her again. She would have to get them to stop that later, but after her time in the Iwi village, she saw how they would be overprotective of her. Though she also suspected that Harry was happy to return to his home and visit his adoptive family. He hadn't been able to when they had been here before, something Lily felt bad for. The sun was darkening due to the storm clouds that were gathering in the skies above them, rain starting to come down upon them as the helicopter landed on the concrete pad at the base of Isla Sorna. Security teams led most of them into the bunker, but both Harry and Bellatrix shifted from human to dinosaur, going into the island jungle. Several of the armed guards looked nervously around before one of them said something into her ear as the winds picked up.
"Ma'am, someone arrived before you did. He said you knew him,"
he said as the wind started to howl. Lily frowned at that before they were let inside the bunker that would keep them safe from the storm above, which was a blessing. She was starting to get rather self-conscious about the two-piece outfit she was wearing, which was hugging against her body much too tightly now that she thought about it. James noticed and got her into a side room that had extra clothing in it, allowing her to get dressed before the group continued deeper into the bunker. To their surprise, they found a half-goblin professor smiling at them as he put a cup of tea on the table before him.
"Professor," Lily greeted with a warm smile. "If I knew you were coming, I would have been here faster."
Professor Phileas Flitwick chuckled.
"There was no need, my dear. Please come sit with me. Tell me all about these islands."
Sirius, Lily wasn't surprised, muttered to her husband.
"Ravenclaw minds never dull."
Harry rumbled in his throat, walking through the darkening trees like a panther in its territory. Bella followed, sniffing the air in wonder. The winds and the rain came down harder, as though Zeus was trying to drown Isla Sorna. Not that that would happen, due to the magic this place was protected by. Soon he was smelling his familiar trails, and the memories came back to him. Then he heard the rustling in the bushes, and he paused before growling deeply, a sound that reverberated through the trees. Chirps and barks could be heard in return, as raptors came out of the trees and surrounded both him and Bella. Harry roared and got onto his belly, smirking as the younger members of this party chirped and swarmed him. They nipped and licked his neck and face, happily welcoming him home. Bella was utterly shocked by this revelation as she stood there with her mouth open, a very human expression. The raptors seemed to look her over before one mentioned that she smelled like one of them and the Lizard King predators.
"Oh," Harry said, looking at the place where the alpha of the pack stepped into the light. "I'm home."
Tria stepped into the small clearing, looking at her adopted hatchling before stopping before him. He had grown larger, added more appendages and additions that would easily allow him to hunt down the tyrannosaurs of the island. She growled to herself before speaking, carefully picking her words.
"If you came home, what would I have done differently?"
Harry blinked, tilting his head before he answered.
"Do what differently?
You always knew I would change. Why would you treat me any differently if I looked human or carnivore?
Tria hissed, laughing before nuzzling his snout with her own. The pair made noises of contentment, mother and son reunited once again. She soon stopped and looked over at the large white-scaled predator before huffing.
You found a mix of my kin and the lizard kings,
Tria remarked as the larger animal growled.
A female, too. Interesting. Creating a pack.
Harry spluttered.
What?
Tria smirked.
You leave them, come home with a girl.
Harry's mind seemed to click in that moment as he backpedaled.
Mom, she's my aunt!
Tria tilted her head.
And a mate is a mate, after all.
Harry whined.
She's not someone I would have kids with. Besides, why would I try with someone that is mostly likely to curse me into oblivion?
Bellatrix laughed.
Oh, I think that Tria and I are going to get along spectacularly.
It was at this moment that Harry realized that Tria had been teasing him, and he felt for it hook, line, and sinker. Tria smirked at Bellatrix.
We'll talk later. Come to the nesting grounds.
Sirius was busy looking over the footage, while both James and Lily talked with Phileas in the food court section of the bunker, frowning as a few of the security looked over the footage as well.
And you say this is from 3 hours ago?
He asked one of the personnel, getting a nod of confirmation. Sirius knew that he didn't know everything that was happening in the Muertes Archipelago, but he did know that nobody but those allowed by the Potters should be here. Phileas was an exception, not the rule. Looking at the footage, he spotted what was wrong. An unmarked ship with unknown people had been unloading unknown cargo. Something or someone was on Isla Nublar with unknown packages. Something that could ruin what was on the island.
Alert the security forces and the mainland forces, Sirius said. We've got intruders and possibly poachers. At worst, terrorists.
One of the security personnel frowned.
Terrorists? Who would want to target the Potters?
Sirius snorted.
You'd be surprised. Nearly 15 years ago, one such madman did so. Can't be too careful. Couldn't find the body of the bastard either.
He all but growled at that, his inner grim acting up a bit before he calmed himself down.
Get security alerts here, boys and girls, he said, smirking darkly. Time to go to battle.
Commander Alex Stone grunted as the last of the soldiers returned back to the boat, leaving several gifts behind for those that would stay on the island. He would stay behind as well, under the orders of Dr. Wu. Several of his creations were going to be released to cause some chaos so they wouldn't investigate on the mainland for a while, hopefully. He marched into the raining night, slamming his fist into the side of one of the heavy-duty trucks. He then climbed into the cabin of the lead one before the convoy started on its way. Henry Wu had given them detailed, specific instructions to get to the underground laboratory that Wu had created. Underneath everything at the visitor center, Henry Wu had the best equipment that science had constructed at the time put into a massive laboratory. They would be traveling there to get several lab creations while also unleashing a few more to distract those that would arrive to stop them.
Commander!
A voice over the radio crackled.
Tyrannosaurus on the sonar.
He nodded to himself.
Deploy countermeasures.
Understood.
A flare was fired from the back of a truck, the red glow lighting up the soggy night and illuminating the oldest wrecks that had ever been grown. He glowered at her silhouette as she stopped before roaring, following the red light into the jungle, soon passing through Dilophosaurus territory. Windows were rolled up as toxic, thick black saliva was hurled into the glass. The rain helped dilute it, so it was washed away from the pouring water. Stone remained quiet throughout the trip before radioing in the convoy to keep watching for the sign that didn't belong. They found it a few miles later, one that pointed into the jungle towards the under-construction location. It was off the beaten path, where no one looked that wasn't in the know. The convoy traveled deeper into the jungle before it started to slope downwards into a utility tunnel, just as the doctor had told them. The truck stopped only once so Commander Stone could input the 6-digit PIN to a panel in the wall, massive thick steel doors opening to let them in deeper, He stepped out of the truck as the convoy entered the parking space, pressing the red button that closed behind them. He got everyone into position as he gave orders, pulling out his assault rifle from within the confines of the truck cabin. He had teams getting the equipment up and others to get the creations out through the birthing tubes, or tubes that got full-grown animals out into the jungle for those on top to take to the pens. Canvas-covered creatures were put into the chutes, only taking the canvas off so they didn't clog up the machines. The chutes closed up, and the creatures released. They moved towards the main labs to start bagging and carefully collecting everything. They only had a 12-hour window before the storm let up and they would be caught. In 6 hours, the ship would be back to collect them. It didn't matter to Commander Stone. Wu paid well, and he would give them more if they got everything. They were the best money could buy. They had to show that they were the best here and now.
Get everything into the cases and load it up. We have only 5 hours and 20 minutes left.
Cho was busy training the rather large reptile her uncle sent her in the backyard, the Indoraptor being a rather quick learner to understand her and obey. Of course, being her familiar helped as she could make sure that it didn't try to slaughter her. It had a rather dangerous intelligence for murder and causing fear, having slaughtered several rabbits in plain view of young children in the local parks. She was currently training the hybrid on recognizing spells. Thankfully, the family wards allowed her to do wand work without the ministry interfering. That and the minister was an utter coward, wanting nothing to do with the Chinese mafia that her father was related to. "No," she instructed. As the black-scaled reptile watched,
"We're going to be working on area of effect spells, spells that are more explosive, or cause certain areas to be dangerous, like these ones."
She used both the Confringio and Glacius spells, causing the ground to explode before it froze over in thick ice. The Indoraptor growled, the thoughtful feeling coming through the bond as its intelligent mind stored the visuals away. Cho nodded to herself as she continued the lesson, working on other spells that purebloods would use in combat, and then many more exotic spells that it could possibly see if they went out of the country to visit family. The raptor listened before the practical happened, to which Cho was grateful that the raptor had grown in a magical environment. This gave it some good magical defense if any spell was used upon its body, as she had the raptor charge her at 100 feet. Using many area of effect spells, the Indoraptor dodged most of them, tanked 2 or 3, and leapt over the last one to land on top of her. It grinned darkly as it smugly sent the image of her fearful face through the bond. She growled and sent one of it right back, one where her mother had cursed it into a house cat for ruining some family photos of her siblings. The raptor hissed and got off her body, looking away as its humiliation was easily felt and seen.
"I'd do the same to you if I was older,"
she snapped and picked up her wand.
"Now, let's do that again. Faster and harder, no tanking anything."
Again and again, they did this until it was able to dodge everything sent at it and finally pin her. After that long training session, she was ready for a hot meal and a shower. The raptor grunted and went into the forest around them to hunt its favorite meal, live deer.
For the full text of this and other stories by the same author, visit the AO3 page of Gogeta 126. Music from Jurassic Park for the Nintendo Game Boy, gratefully used by permission of composer John Dunn. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact info on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find links to other stories that I've read, my Discord server where you can attend live recordings of all of my ongoing projects, and various ways to support what I do. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.